We hope our weekly broadcast bring you comfort as you hear the word of God from my dad. Last week, Dad spoke about Peter and how he failed the Lord. Today's message, The Upward Steps of Peter, will walk us through how Peter came back to the Lord. We hope today's broadcast will be of encouragement to you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're always so happy when the weeks roll by and we get to come to your house or your home or wherever you are. Maybe you're in a tenement place or something, a nursing home. Maybe you're way out on the desert. Wherever you are, just thank you for letting us come to visit with you. And what we're going to do is we're going to worship Jesus, wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And all around the world, we're going to gather around the feet of Jesus and worship him. And won't that be wonderful? And we're going to be thinking about Peter today. Last week, you remember, we saw Peter fall. We saw him deny the Lord and hit rock bottom. And now this week, we're going to look at him come back to Jesus. And oh, that's what I like to preach about, because there's always hope. No person ever falls so far but what the grace of God can lift him up and take him out of the pit, put his feet on the solid rock. Oh, what a wonderful Lord Jesus. But first, I want to read some of the letters. And we just thank you for writing, and we hope more of you will write. And we hope that you'll help us in this work. We have to have your help. So get your pencil and paper, and at the end of the service, I'll tell you how you can be a part of this team and part of this wonderful ministry. But here's a letter from Big Fork, Montana. Thank you for your sermon on growing in Christ and how to do that. I fell away from studying the Bible. That is, I used to study daily. Then, every time I didn't, I used the excuse of being busy and just went to church instead. The Lord laid it on my heart that it is no excuse. Your sermon really hit home. That's what I was missing. Praise his holy name. And isn't this exciting? See, and how it happened is that we just preach the word. I preach the Bible, and the Holy Spirit takes the Bible and applies it to this dear brother's heart and brings him back to Jesus, back into the fold. Not that he lost his soul, but he lost his fellowship and he lost his service. And now he's walking again with the Lord. It's just wonderful. Here's Hilo, Hawaii. Thank you for all being a blessing to the kingdom of God, doing his work while we can. May the Christian Worship Hour continue to bear much fruit, good fruit, that he be glorified. Amen. And, I've always wanted to go to Hawaii. And I just wish, but you know, here I am almost going on 97. And I don't even go beyond the city limits. So I'm not going to get to Hawaii. But maybe when I have been in heaven, I'll get to see Hawaii, or maybe heaven will be like Hawaii. I don't know. But I know the Lord will work it out, and I'm content and happy just right where I'm at. Here's Seattle, Washington. I was in isolation at the hospital. I was able to worship because of your broadcast on my hospital TV. It meant the world to me. Since I've been worshiping with you, your Bible-based service, it has created a need in me to start reading the Bible. God bless you and your crew. And so that we're just rejoicing when you get back into the Bible. And we have a little Bible study that we put out every month, or every month, yeah. And this month, we're going to, our Bible study is on What is Love? The month of February is a kind of a special month where we have Valentine's Day, so we're talking about love. And so you just write and say, I'd like to have the little Bible study. I'd like to have the new song. We'll send it free and postpaid. We'd be glad to do that. And I know that you'll enjoy it. One more letter I want to share, and that is in Des Moines, Iowa. This man writes, and listen to what he says. I want you to know you've been a big part of my life. You've been there for me. You have helped me through the hardest part of my life. And you still are helping me. Thank you. Des Moines, Iowa. Let me tell you about this dear brother. He was in prison. And now he's out of prison. And he's trying to get readjusted and get work and get going. And we need to pray for him. Because it's a hard time. Pray that God will give him work. because he's willing to work, and pray that God will bless his heart as he looks to Jesus. Wonderful letters. Now, I hope that you'll write some letters. Maybe you got a question. Maybe you got a prayer request. I don't know. But you get that pencil ready, and we'll tell you all about that. But so then let's look at our sermon for today. And we're looking at the upward steps of Peter. And last week, as I say, we saw him go way down as far as a man can go. And now this side, the bright side. And there are some certain things that happened in his life that brought him back to the Lord. And the first thing that happened was he remembered. Peter remembered. The Bible tells us, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. So the cock crows, and the memories come flooding in, and he remembers. Peter remembers how that he said, Peter said, I know him. My curse, I don't know him. And a little maid comes, points a little bony finger at him, and he denies the Lord, and he remembered how Jesus said, before the cock crow, you're going to deny me three times. The memory of Peter serves him well at this point. Peter listens to his memory. It brings back the words of the master when the master said, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. It brings back the words Peter had hotly declared, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. It brought back memories to Peter of his saying, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And his memory convicts him of his great transgression, and he goes out and he weeps bitterly. I wonder how often it has helped us along life's way to remember. We see it in the Bible. We see Jacob. He comes to Bethel in Genesis 35, and he finds the altar he had built in his youth, and he remembered that pledge he had made. We think about Joseph and how he's put in a place of trust, and how that he is tempted to sin grievously. And then he remembered the things of God. And how can I do this sin against my God? And it kept him from a terrible sin. The psalmist sings an entire psalm, Psalm 105, and he remembers the power of God and how God has helped him. He's remembering, he's thinking of these things. The exiles in Babylon, they were in Babylon 70 years, carried away from Jerusalem, and they sing to themselves. They remember the songs of Zion, Psalm 119:54. Jesus goes out in the silence of Gethsemane, and he remembers the closeness that he had with his heavenly Father as he's coming to the cross, this horrible thing, not so much of the crucifixion as the fact that he's going to take into his holy, precious, pure, sinless body all of the sins of the world. How could he stand it? And no wonder he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Peter remembers, Paul remembers, and the nearness that God gave him and the visions God gave him of things to come and things of heaven, all so wonderful. And so that memory, there are memories running, maybe my memory's running through your mind right now while we're talking about these other people. Maybe you remember your mother and how she prayed for your salvation, but you never really turned to Jesus. You were too busy. Remember, maybe you're thinking about your father, how he wanted you to live for Christ and be a strong man of God, and you didn't, and today you're living in sin, and you're far off from God and the God of your father and your mother, and you're remembering that. Maybe you have memories of when you accepted Christ and the promises you made to Jesus and what you would do for him, or in hard times, when he helped you in the hard times and you promised some things. You never kept the word, and you're remembering those things. Maybe you have memories of when you were baptized and when you joined the church and all the promises that you made then. You promised the promises to love one another, promises to faithfully attend, promise to faithfully give and cheerfully give, promises to live a separated life. Do those memories come flooding in today? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart? I hope you, like Peter, will respond and you'll turn back. Oftentimes we read these memories to spur us, we get these memories to spur us on, to encourage us in well-doing, to keep us on fire for the Lord, or to bring us back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter remembered and he began to make changes, changes for the better. And if you take a moment or two to think, it'll bring you maybe to repentance. Maybe it'll bring you to the foot of the cross. And maybe your old dear old mother and your dear old dad have long been buried and they've long been in Jesus' presence. And you have been wandering all these years, but their prayers still follow you. And you ought to stop in your tracks and say, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart and wash away my sins, and I'll turn from my wicked ways and my evil ways, and I'll serve you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus." And you know, when a soul comes to Jesus, we're told that there's rejoicing in heaven, and your parents would know it right now that that boy came home after all these years. Peter remembered those memories. They're all of the time, there they are. And so Jesus, he remembers. And then the next thing that happened in that was he looked. We are told that the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. It's interesting to read sermons about how they've preached about this, where Jesus turned and looked at Peter. And some of them say that was a look of penetration, that he looked at Peter and they just pierced him through and through. That is, Jesus looking at him went right to his heart, the innermost part of his being. That to hear true, that Jesus can see us. He can see everything is open and naked under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He sees our hearts and our thoughts, and nobody can even see them, but God Almighty can see them, and it's clear as day. And so they're saying that's what Jesus was doing. He was looking at a penetrating look that cut Peter to his heart. But some others say, no, it wasn't that at all. When Jesus looked, it was a look of reproach, as if to say, "Why, Peter, why did you confess? Why did you deny me? What have I ever done to cause you to deny me? When have I ever let you down, Peter? Have I ever denied you? And yet you denied me. What reason do you give, Peter? Why did you do this thing, these actions?" It may be a good question. It might be asked all of us. Why do we fail Jesus? Why do we let Jesus down? Why do we keep silent when we ought to stand up and say something for Jesus Christ? Why do we cheat on our giving? We don't even give in 10%. We spend it all on ourselves or a big portion of ourselves. Why do we do these things? And so maybe he looked at that. But I don't think that that's the way Jesus looked at Peter at all. I read one man who said that Jesus looked upon Peter and anger and disgust. And he's like, he's saying to him, "Peter, I warned you. I told you. I gave you forewarning. Will you ever learn? Will you get it ever through your thick skull? Don't you think I know what I'm talking about?" And in anger and disgust, Jesus looks at Peter and looks him through. I don't think that's true either. You know how I think that Jesus looked at Peter? I think that Jesus looked at Peter and it was one of love and compassion. The love of God and compassion for that Peter, even though Peter had just denied him with cursing and oaths, I think Jesus looked at him and loved him. Loved him even though he sinned and drifted, loved him still. There was caring in their look, in that look. There was hope in that look. And Jesus said, "Satan asked to have you, Peter. Satan asked to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have made a supplication for thee that thy faith fail not." And Satan had done some sifting with Peter, all right. The evasion and the denials and the oaths and the cursings. And believe me, the sifting was taking place. But what did Jesus tell Peter? He said, "Peter, I'm praying for you that your faith will not fail." And so Jesus is saying, I'm praying, Peter, see if Satan wants to sift you like wheat, but I'm praying that your faith fails not. And do you know something? Peter's faith never failed. His courage failed, and his hope failed, and his strength failed, and his knees failed him, but his faith never failed because he's still looking. Why was Peter there in the first place? He was there to see what they would do with Jesus. His faith hadn't failed him. He was walking with Jesus. He was looking for Jesus. What are they going to do to him? His faith in Jesus never, ever failed. And so with the denials and fears and frustrations and accusations and all the rest of us, Peter still had his eye upon Jesus, for Peter loved the Lord Jesus, and he was there to see what was going to happen. And do you know something else? In order for Jesus to look at Peter, Peter had to look at Jesus, and they had eye contact. And that love was there, and that dedication was there, and that faith was there. And after the stench, so he looked upon him, and I think he looked upon him with compassion because he knew that that wasn't the end of the story. When Jesus told them about going to the cross, he says, we're all going to be scattered, but we're going to be gathered again. After the storm, there's going to be sunshine. After the death on the cross, there's going to be the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus looked at Peter. There was infinite love there. There was compassion there. There was assurance there. There was hope there, as if Jesus was saying, Peter, you've been sifted by Satan, and I knew it was coming. I told you it was coming. But in spite of all of that, Peter, I love you. In spite of your cursing and your bitterness and your turning against me, I love you, Peter. And you say that's impossible for Jesus to do that. Well, if you say that, it's because you don't know Jesus. That infinite love of the Lord Jesus Christ. There where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And oh, this wonderful Jesus, even when we drift away, even when we get into the pit, he loves us. And if we turn to him, he'll take us back. And Peter said, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and it's as if to say, oh, Peter, do you realize what you've done? You can come back. We can be together. I love you, Peter. And so that's what could be happening to you today. Maybe you've drifted away. Maybe you rejected him just like Peter. Maybe you didn't curse, but you didn't stand up for him when you could have. And maybe you're doing this. Maybe you've just not witnessed when you should have witnessed or come clean for the Lord. Maybe it's been the same thing. And if you are his child, he's asking you, why did you fail me as you did? Why do you doubt me when I love you? And why do you doubt my love? And why do you doubt that I care for you? And why do you doubt and wonder if I'm going to be able to take care of the affairs of your life? Why do you give me such a small part in your life when you're so much a part of your life is given to other things? Why don't you openly confess me? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do these things? Oh, yes. Maybe Jesus is looking at you, and maybe he's looking at me, and we need to, like Peter, come around to Jesus and make that connection. And so this we read, the next thing that Peter did, he went out. After he saw Jesus, and he looked at Jesus, and he knew there was hope, he went out. He made a break with that company he was living with. He was traveling with the wrong crowd, and when he now forsook them, he got away from them. How could he possibly stand against them all? And so the best way for him is to get away from them. And how many a soul has been lost because they didn't fear the foe, and they traveled with the wrong crowd, and they say, oh, I'm going to witness to them. You're going to witness to that whole crowd, are you? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to do like Peter. You're going to join the crowd. And you're going to do like the man is in the first psalm. And it talks about this man. And it says, first of all, he walks in the counsel of the ungodly. He walks in the counsel of the ungodly. Then he stands in the way of the sinners. He's not walking, now he's standing. And then he's sitting in the seat of the scornful. That's the way it'll work with you if you will walk with that wrong crowd. You're going to go travel with them, and you're going to walk with them, and then you're going to stand with them, and then you're going to sit down with them, and you're going to wish to God that you could die, just like Peter. Get away from that crowd, and oh, especially young people, pick your friends, pick Christian friends. Don't travel with that group. And I remember one girl accepted Jesus with Dwight L. Moody. And then when she accepted Jesus, then she said, "Will I have to give up my friends?" And Moody said, "No, you just live for Jesus and they'll give you up." And that's going to happen. And so you won't enjoy being with them anymore. You won't be talking the way they talk anymore. You won't be telling the jokes that they tell anymore. You won't be telling the stories with the double meanings anymore. You won't be in with the tobacco and the liquor and the drugs anymore. You'll turn your back on and you'll get away from them. Yes, but listen, friends, what'll happen? You'll find better friends. You'll find Christian friends, and they will be closer to you, and they'll be more dependable, and they'll help you to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do like Peter. Get away from that wicked crowd. Get away from those people that don't love your Lord and carry his flag, and get with the crew, get with the people that love Jesus, and your friend will be better than all of them. You'll have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You'll have a friend, Jesus. But you can't walk with the world and walk with Jesus at the same time. I remember we had a lady, I had a lady in my church, and she gave her testimony, and she says, "I walked with Jesus in my one hand and walked with the crowd on the other hand." No, you didn't, sister. Jesus says, "You're for me or against me. You can't have both at the same time. You're in or you're out, it's black or it's white, it's heaven or it's hell. That's all, there's no in between." Do like Peter. And then what did Peter do? He wept. Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Others have rendered this verse like this: he continued weeping aloud. He flung his mantle over his head. He flung himself upon the ground and he wept. He wept abundantly. There were tears of repentance. And before there can be forgiveness, there's got to be repentance, a turning away from sin to God, to Jesus. There's got to be that weeping. There now, not bitter tears, perhaps, but you have to make that move where you start that new life. You're a new creation in Christ, and you can walk with Jesus, and it's a different path that he follows. True repentance means turning. One time you see this person and he'll say, "Oh, he's so bad," and he cries for his sins and he's sorry for his sins. But he's not sorry for his sins at all. He's sorry that he got caught. That's exactly. Look at Judas and Peter. They show it exactly. Peter's sorrow came because he sinned. Judas's sorrow came because he was caught up in his sin. Peter's sorrow turned him away from the world. Judas's sorrow turned him into the world, closer. Peter's sorrow drives him closer to Christ. Judas's sorrow drives him farther away from Christ. Peter's sorrow leads him to a life eternal. Judas's sorrow takes him to death eternal. And so that turning has to be to God, and they have to be repenting. And so that's why God, I think sometimes God sees all the sin in the world, and why doesn't he stop all this sin? And he should see, because he's given time to repent, turn to Jesus. And then finally, he saw. He saw Jesus at the Sea of Galilee, the risen Christ. And Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" Three times he said it. Three times Peter denied him. Three times Jesus asked him, three times Jesus says, "I do, Lord." And he did love him. And Peter loved them. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. I'm recommissioning you, Peter. I'm calling you back into the ministry. And you serve me. And Peter served him until he was put to death. He gave him the rest of his life. My friends, you need Jesus. And I'll tell you how you get him. You ask him to come into your heart. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I just ask you to come in my heart and take away my sin. Maybe you've drifted away from the Lord. You can pray the same thing. Jesus, forgive me. And then thank him. And then serve him. And then write to us. And we'll send you literature. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota. 57402. All you folks on shortwave radio, they tell me we reach 90% of the world's population shortwave radio. I'd love to hear from you folks. It's box 2002. It's Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We need to hear from you. We need your gifts. You got to help us if you want this to continue. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and so we have to have you to help us out. There's our address, Christian Worship Hour, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. And all of you on the shortwave radio, you'll be sure to stand with us. I know you will. Now we're going to pray for you. And in our prayer, we're going to pray for Afghanistan, the persecuted church in Afghanistan. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the multitudes that opened their heart to you today. Thank you for the multitudes that came back. They drifted away. They came back. Thank you, Lord, that they can be brought into the fellowship of you again, and they can serve you as if nothing ever happened. Blessed Lord, I'm praying for the persecuted church today, and I just to help them to know that we think about them and pray for them, and they are an encouragement to us. And to those on beds of sickness, and those who are shut-ins, and those who are weary, and young people making decisions, oh God, bless them and help them and put their eyes on Jesus. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so now until next week, you pray for us. Be sure to send us that gift, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Have to have your help if we're going to continue. And there's a whole world to bring to Christ, so we need your prayers, we need your help. And we just will be praying and thanking you. And I know that some of you are wondering, if I should make this, maybe I should just wait a little bit. But don't you wait. You pray right now for Jesus. Come into my heart, dear Jesus. Take away my sins, and I'll serve you all my life. God bless you. God loves you, and we love you. We'll see you next week.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.